Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Thank you.
Is life hard sometimes, Claudia? That darn water bottle. Could it just work?
I know. It's a real problem.
Could it just, like, work like it's supposed to? But there's the leak, there's the thing gets stuck, and life sometimes often you end up in a situation that's more demanding than you can provide. It's asking for more at that moment than you seem to be, keyword, prepared for. So overwhelm happens. Underwhelming emotions follow with an overwhelming situation because you are unprepared for that circumstance you just found yourself in. Look, if I had only known, I would have come with a little more backup data or money or time or a bigger car or whatever the situation presented to you for which you are lacking. Lack is caught up with you. It just happens, right? How do you live this life without these situations happening? It just happens. So we're in a constant struggle together, living in bodies, to try to be prepared for life. Well, I hope somebody, you got you some kind of education when you were really young and you furthered it at least a little bit. Because if you got the education going, then you could get some money going. And then the money is a preparation, universal preparation in this world. It just kind of works for, I don't know, damn near anything. It's like the grease of life. Yeah. So once you got that covered, it ain't over yet, is it, David? The money doesn't buy a whole lot of things. It buys a lot. Like a friend of mine says, is money does not buy happiness. But it sure pays off a lot of misery.
Yeah, sure helps.
Sure helps with the misery. It doesn't buy happiness. You can't buy health. You can buy the misery of sickness away, but you really can't buy health. That's like another bucket you have to draw on for in this world, right? You get your education, you get your wealth, you get your wisdom, you get your health. And the ego says, if you got these three things going, you're going to be happy. Yeah. Well, I mean, things work linear that way. And if you're not prepared for a situation, it sucks to be you. Course in Miracles has fallen into my life. And for this final category... Health, turns out that the part of me for which I seek health the most is my mind. I also go to the gym, sure. I also have a job at work, yeah, true too. Keep myself studied up. But the health and the strength that I appreciate the most affects everything all the time, including my sleep, is my mind. So with A Course in Miracles, I have found a way to prepare my mind for the situations of my life. I am prepared with A Course in Miracles in a way that no other education or money could buy. There's no food you can eat that would turn on the peace, the power of understanding this book has brought me. for the ego and life and time and space and bodies, anxiety and love, all included.
Excuse me. David, can I open this window, please? Thank you.
Put a small pillow in there and keep it open. Somebody throw him a small pillow. Oh, he's got it. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so I think everybody here is kind of in the same vein, trusting this book to prepare us for the variety of things for which we do not know are coming. They always come, right? Have you given into that? Everybody's old enough, we've given into that life just happens. And it's so much better to be prepared than completely unprepared. It's just better. So that's our work tonight. Let's think about that for a few minutes.
Prepare.
What goes into that phase of you managing your life and your mind? What do you get? What do you get when you're prepared? You go into a situation, and lo and behold, you reach in your pocket, or you look in your trunk, or whatever it is, or in your mind, you've already got this experience, and you are prepared for this situation. What do you get for that? And if and you're prepared in a situation, what does that give you? What does that give you to give away? What effect would your preparation have on others around you? What's the difference? What's the difference between being prepared and planning? Having a plan. And finally, what can you think of? What preparation could you make that is universal for the rest of your days? What preparation would you call into your life that would serve you universally for every situation for the rest of your days in this sometimes hungry, sometimes cold, sometimes hot, sometimes poor, sometimes rich, sometimes inside, sometimes outside body, sometimes healthy, sometimes sick, sometimes alone, sometimes together, sometimes within your will, sometimes outside of your preferences. What universal preparation might you come up with and share with the group that would serve you in all the situations for the rest of your day? David, is there something, some universal preparation you make for the rest of your life?
Learning to be in the moment.
Wow, be present. Be in the moment.
Yeah.
Powerful, universal.
Yeah.
What an experience. You know how that works. You know what it feels like to be in the moment.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. What a way to lose a whole bunch of baggage. What a way to be available for the situation. Sweet. Incredible. How do you?
Pretty much remembering everything that's in this book and living this life and just, you know, the forgiveness and that we're all one and the ego's not really who we are.
Freedom from the muddy, dirty ego.
Yeah. I like that too, being in prison. Nothing better than that.
Not bad. Yeah.
That's all there is, right?
True. Straight up. Simple logic.
Mm.
Carol?
Reminding myself of what my cell phone said that day. I'm a child of God. Really.
Wow. Right context. I am a child of God. Nice. Yeah. What inheritance you might be willing to receive, reminding yourself of being a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very universal. Very nice. Yeah. Masako.
Judgments and forgiving myself. Constantly.
Vigilance for self-forgiveness. Wow. Aren't all the problems we have in life because we're basically judging and attacking our own beliefs and self-worth and ideas? And
mm-hmm.
Wow. It's kind of a requirement to be present.
Yeah.
Get lost off in these judgments and second-guessing the situation. Yeah, it's good. Julie.
I do not know. And also mm-hmm. that everything is a call for love.
Mm. So open-mindedness. Mm-hmm. I do not know.
Mm-hmm. Also really loved what you said about when you asked the question, preparation versus planning. Because when you first said preparation, I was like, oh, that puts me in the future. I don't like it.
Mm.
But once you asked that question, because I was thinking of preparation course terms and experiences I've had of choosing right thinking, right-mindedness.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you said, how does that differ from planning, that's when it clicked into the future. And I realized, like, you know, I wanted this new job to pan out. It didn't pan out, and I felt disappointed. So what does planning bring? It brings disappointment. But the times where there's been preparation has been more about determining the goal in advance, that no matter what, like, I can be peaceful and joyful and bring and give love. So there's a big difference for
big
me
difference.
In the two.
Big difference. Good.
And an example of that is, you know, like, going home for 10 days with my mom and thinking, like, okay, my mom's a little bit demanding, she can get on your nerves, like, and I set the goal in advance once, like, I'm just gonna, anything she asks, I'm just gonna be there, and I had the most amazing time at home. So it's like, yeah, that's preparation. Yeah.
That's preparation mm-hmm. for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great example of just how we would apply it from chapter 16.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Mm.
Well?
Well, besides what has been said so far, preparation involves expectations.
Huh.
And what I see is how I see it, and that doesn't work for me. But planning, deciding to be happy, is one thing I thought about.
Yes.
And the second one is just always narrowing my focus of all the noise and all, you know, the comparisons and the judgments out here to a point that's right in front of me. It's so close to me, I can't see it. It's, you know, like even if I cross my eyes, I can't see it. So I stay within myself.
And real.
That helps.
Yeah, nice.
Immensely.
And I stay within your own circle of influence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very practical presence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a practical
It's not always easy to do, but when I can do that, nothing bothers me.
Yeah, because it works, right? Yeah. Nice. That's lesson 236. I have a kingdom which I must rule. I have a kingdom which I alone must rule. That little, when you said right close, so close you can't even see it across your eye. Mm-hmm. That close.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you stay within your kingdom, you're the king.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know how kings get treated? Everything goes their way. Good data boss. And when you go outside yourself.
Yeah, and it's so easy to believe what other people say.
Yeah. You
know, other people's judgments of me.
Yes.
Or my behavior. And I have to go back to this point.
Yeah, very practical. I love this. Very practical, physical definition of presence.
Mm-hmm.
In that lesson, it says, it seems like you're at the whim of others' qualified opinions about you.
Because
sometimes you go right in and press the button, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can think twice.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go back to your kingdom and you discover that it's up to you, the king, on how this day goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good. Very good.
It's all right.
You know, very, very close,
it's
right?
All right there.
You get into somebody else's stuff, out of control.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That's good. Kim.
Well, I agree with the whole forgiveness. That's my focus right now. But I like the narrowing focus too, because I think there's so much more freedom when you have your own personal boundaries that you've set for your direction that you want to go in. It makes your way much wider than if you are willy-nilly. Then there's too much clutter and you have no way. So I like that idea of the narrow focus. But I was thinking just remembering that I am perfectly loved. When I don't feel that, then a lack creeps in. From that goes everything. My mind just goes in, it wanders into bad places.
Yeah. Perfectly so, loved. You see, the conditional love that comes and goes, it could go when you most want it to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't count on it. If it's conditional love, as good as it can be. But this perfectly loved, that's going to require a real upgrade.
And I have to remember that
right?
is not my interpretation of what, because I, in my own mind, could never be able to comprehend what being perfectly loved is.
Uh-huh.
I almost have to imagine it's something far beyond myself because my mind has never been there.
Yeah.
I've never felt that
uh-huh.
except in the individual experiences, probably in my spiritual walk.
Uh-huh.
You know, not just Course in Miracles, but through my life I've had different experiences.
Yes.
But in my ego mind, I can't even imagine what that's like. So I have to trust that I am perfectly loved even when I can't feel it.
Can you answer this question? Perfectly loved by what?
By the remembrance of what is inside of me, that when I can feel that it's always there,
mm-hmm.
and that I've always been taken care of,
uh-huh.
and knowing that I always will be taken care of,
uh-huh.
as long as I don't let this guide me.
So by it, the mystery, perfectly loved by the mystery.
We can call it God, but it is a mystery.
Uh-huh. It transcends being perfectly loved by mother, father, sister, brother, friend, boyfriend, son, daughter.
It's the everything that is...
It's something bigger than that individual contributor, whoever they might be.
When in reality, it is me.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Uh huh. There's a connection to this it, this mystery that nobody can see, including you, but. There's a beautiful proof that you are connected to it because you have faith that it is acting on you. It is present. You see, any task or challenge has a couple of absolutely required components so you can be prepared. One of them is, when to show up, where to show up, you've got the right tools, you've got enough money, wherewithal, time, all these practical things, okay? There's a whole list of stuff you got to have for certain tasks, okay? Let's say you're going to drive a car, you got to have the keys. It's real hard to have the keys. I mean, unless you can hotwire, even then it might lock up halfway, the keys, preparation. But there's something else that's universal with all things. I kind of heard you, it's beautiful, it's part of a spiritual journey, and that is this. You unquestionably now know that you can have this access to this. Mm-hmm. That it is acting. Now you know it's up to you to be open and be able to say, I do not know, and step back is huge. To have some idea that it exists. Like, I am a child of God, I'll have you know, Carol says. In a situation, she says, wait a minute, this is a child of God going through this. Probably going to be fine, she says. Right? The little, monumental, but little, idea that you are connected to, you are an inheritor of, you deserve. It's your right that this mysterious, all-powerful it loves you. Mm-hmm. Even could love you. Even if it's a space, well, I don't deserve it yet, but I know if I only did these things, then I would. Even if you're that person, you still have the essential connection of a spiritual life. You see, without this, I can do it. I haven't done it yet. I don't care whether you have the keys. You have keys, but you don't think you can drive a stick shift? Barrier. You're not going to get in the car. Are you going to get in the car? I don't know. It's a nice car, and I don't want to wreck it. I can't drive this car. Can you? Can you do it? Can you have love, peace, hope in your life? Mm-hmm. Can you actually live a life with a full heart, even though the world goes up and down on a monthly basis?
Yes.
Yes. The answer is yes.
It takes practice, but yes, you can.
I just want you to know how huge that is. Do you know how huge that is?
I read something that I think it was this week, and it said, like, imagine if God was standing right in front of you and said, "I will for you to be happy, joyful, and blissful for your entire life. That's all I will for you." And then you know that's all God wills for you.
Yeah.
That's all God can will for you.
Yes.
And then it's only me that says, well, yes, I want that, but I want this too.
Yeah, but.
I want this but. Too. So can I have that and still keep this?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you can feel the joy go away.
Yeah. Good. Huge that we allow that we could actually do it. Huge. Yeah. Learning is still required, indeed, as a preparation so that you can actually have the benefit of being a child of God. Have the benefit of being present. Huge, you know, learning is very useful now. It's, as we know in A Course in Miracles, it's not really a learning, is it? It's an unlearning. It kind of makes things easier. Because you can pass the test by just going still, by doing nothing. And actually being able to do nothing. Is you pass the test. Because you discover peace in that moment. And that's your ticket. That's the fertile soil from which understanding and creativity grows. And your life as an extension of God grows from the soil of peace. It's the beginning, it's not the end. But without the beginning, there's no motion. We're no longer invited to creation because we're fear-based and separate. We can't get present. So that's one of the great gifts of A Course in Miracles. But if you know that you could, if you have this belief, it's huge, right? Huge. Right? What does it take? I mean, what? What is?
For the universe.
What?
Prepared.
What's prepared?
One of the Course in Miracles lessons I remember the most and really stuck out to me the most was all I see is light. Mm. I remind myself of that frequently. Seeing through the eyes of Christ, and forgiveness is done.
Yeah, done. Done before, it's a challenge.
And it puts me in a state of gratitude and service.
And service. Yeah, that's part of our meditation, is what do you get? What do you have if you are prepared? Mm-hmm. What can you do for somebody else?
it puts me in a state of gratitude and service for all experiences, but, you know, conditions or environments that I encounter. It causes a shift in consciousness. I remember the scripture, all heaven and earth are bounding toward me.
Yes.
So, there's no judgment of people, places, or things.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Everyone is a reflection of me.
Ha. Ha 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 ha. Nice.
Jesus said, unless you become as a child, you do not see the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Yeah. And how does that work? It's because a child actually knows that he doesn't know.
That's right.
He honestly doesn't know. Right. He knows that he doesn't know. Very powerful. Right into the kingdom of heaven. The freedom and presence if you don't already know. Thank you. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Brother John.
So, insofar as preparation goes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forever. Universal preparation for the rest of your days. What would you
put? Why forever? Why not just any old time?
Yeah, yeah.
But, so this just, for me, the idea of preparation can be thought of in many different a few different contexts.
Yeah, yeah.
What I think we're getting at here, kind of indirectly, is where you need to have some sort of judgment of a situation or concept of what might need to be prepared for in order to, you know, understand where you need to prepare.
Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, if you knew the challenge before you got there, you would know what.
It's based on your beliefs, inherent beliefs, about what would be necessary to be prepared for.
Yeah.
In the first place. But in the context of spirituality,
yeah,
lack of a better term,
yeah,
you know, it would be nice if, maybe it's just beautiful, in fact, to not have to be prepared for anything. Take it as it comes and give it to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you don't, if you don't have an automatic joyful reaction to it, then it's something that the Holy Spirit is to translate for you.
Perfect tolerance.
Yeah.
No resistance.
Right.
Perfect acceptance. Tolerance. Acceptance. Automatic and perfect. Beautiful. Yeah.
And so. So as far as being prepared, who needs it? if you can get away with it, you can be accepting and joyful.
Nice. Beautiful. Micheline.
Well, acceptance came up for me. I have resistance to preparation, except that in the context of the Course, we do need to prepare. Mm-hmm. And so, the being present, knowing I'm a child of God, but what also came up for me was emptying my mind of perceptions. Mm-hmm. You know, like accepting what is, mm-hmm, and then having trust and faith and patience. Those are the three things that came up for me. That's mm-hmm how I can best prepare for anything. Because I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I know I don't know.
So don't lose it. Don't freak out.
Right.
You've got a solid...
That's the intention.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then, you know, there's the things that come up that are viscerally emotional,
yeah,
things that are tied to thoughts that I have, that are hidden.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I prepare for that?
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, is acceptance. Mm-hmm. And forgiveness,
mm-hmm,
and
trust and faith and patience.
And trust and faith and patience.
Sure, even those things as they pop up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Planning. I struggle with that too. Planning is by preparing and it being accepting and in a state of trust.
Mm-hmm.
They're really. That's preparing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the practical preparation.
What does it feel like when you're prepared versus when you're not prepared? What are the qualities of existence in that situation?
Peace of mind. Confidence.
Woo-woo!
Yeah.
Confidence. Peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Lack of fear.
Calm. You're chill.
Patience.
There's no fear.
Yeah, there's no need to make decisions.
You're patient because you're ready.
It's better for everyone involved.
It's better for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You're more interesting.
You're more interesting. Yes. Yes, you're treated kindly for being prepared and having it.
Now, I like the extension thing. I just like keep going back to that because it's the giving what... preparing... by giving what it is that we, giving the love, giving the trust, giving, mm-hmm, the extending it, so it's not just me-centered,
mm-hmm,
it's, yes, the ego-centered thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know, that's like, that's just kind of the one thing that keeps...
Well, being prepared like that means that when you're in a situation that demands what you happen to have in abundance... that which you have in abundance comes to be more valuable to you. And as you give it, you know how valuable it is. If we're going across the desert and there's no water, but I brought water for everybody, times two.
Yeah, but the thing that I had a question about is what, mm-hmm, do you get?
Yes, what do you get?
Well, what you get is
everything that you're giving.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're giving trust, you're giving faith, you're giving acceptance.
Abundance and comfort.
Abundance, right. So that's what you're getting.
And kindness and yeah.
So there's not that's what you're getting. So there's nothing out there that you're getting. You're getting exactly what you give.
Yep. And you get to be that.
Well, I'm working on a presentation right now that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So I'm pulling all the pieces of information together, and I'm just putting them all out there, and I'm writing them all down, trying to make them organized, trying to make sense of this so I can present it to my upper management. And in the process, what I get out of it, and I'm not all the way there yet, but I've done similar things before, when I don't know what I'm doing and I just sit down and I try to pull all the information together, is the knowing that I've pulled all this information together, but it wasn't me that did it. I get that really clearly, that I could not on my own do what I did and come to the conclusion that I did on my own. Mm-hmm. I absolutely walked through those things with the understanding that I wasn't alone mm-hmm. in the process. Mm-hmm. So I get that out of it. And then what everybody else gets out of it is, you know, the gratitude that I came prepared and now we can all make a decision and it's intelligent. I hope. Mm-hmm. I'll let you know next week.
Yeah, yeah.
But often that's the way it comes out, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Comes together. Misako. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to extend on a piece of what Kemp said and also Michaeline. You mentioned something about it's very difficult to really realize the love of God. And at the same time, we're expected to extend that. So the only way that I can experience that is when I get the miracle coming through me, and it's in that moment I feel united, I feel whole, there's nothing to defend, totally satisfied. See, every time that happens, I mean, not in that moment, but afterthought, because when I'm doing all this, I'm in the moment,
mm-hmm.
so there's no thinking, there's
uh-huh.
no logic.
Uh-huh.
I'm just in the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so afterthought is like, wow, that's the love of God.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way that I understand what
yes.
that's like.
Yes.
Totally in the moment, totally unselfish.
Yep.
That's why I'm addicted to forgiveness.
Total trusting, totally walking of faith, the bigger picture you can't see. This is the peace that passeth understanding.
Yes.
You couldn't even justify in terms of the world.
Yeah.
How you're so peaceful. But you know, it really, really works. It's better even in the situation. Even as you have to fight with something in the world, you do it from a perspective of peace. Anybody here a martial artist? A new guy, a martial artist?
Yeah.
My granddaughter.
Okay, granddaughter, let's get her on the phone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I had a little bit. I took a little bit, you know, curious. The first thing they have to teach you is that you got to calm down and you get in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
You have to calm down. You have to get your own center and be calm. And if you're not panicking, your eyes a little more open, you can see more. Check it out. You know, little demonstrations, they work, so you can see more. You actually more. It's because you're relaxed, you know. See things coming, and your reaction might be slightly more delayed than some knee-jerk adrenaline reaction, but because you're calm, you're more accurate, and you can block a punch, what have you. It's like so much you get from being peaceful. I was like really getting the, really enjoyed this instruction.
In Aikido, they actually teach that you, if it's coming at you, you follow the, if the force is coming at you, you actually follow the force, and then
yes. you. Yeah, you don't
transition.
Resist.
So yes. you don't meet it like this. You're actually like, even if somebody's trying to grab you off the street, like you actually lean into the pole, mm-hmm. and then you do some move to.
Yes. Yeah. So you essentially say yes instead of no.
The opposite of what you're.
Yes, you're prepared.
First do.
You're prepared to join rather than resist. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so it is with preparation. If you're prepared for a situation, your answer is always yes, because you're prepared. If you plan and it didn't go the way you expected, you can't say yes to that because I planned something totally different and look what I got now. Uh-oh. Yeah, big difference. Big difference. Now, we're talking about a spiritual path, and in this section of the book, it's our first really big foray into sickness and healing. Sickness, healing, and faith. What we're talking about tonight is a preparation that's universal for all things through which you will go through. It's going to be of the mind. There is no pocket knife big enough to have all the tools you're going to need to manipulate the world. So it's not going to be a physical preparation. Indeed, it is the mind training. The only thing that counts is how you're dealing with it. How you feel about this, beep. It's this preparation. I say again, Course in Miracles' goal is to deliver to you your own personal atonement, which is your own personal peace of mind and understanding of what's going on. That is the soil from which grows your own Christ mind and the way you would see things. Knowing what you know, being who you are, where you are, what you're dealing with, but with the Christ perspective, it comes out like it would come out from you. It doesn't happen in anger. It doesn't happen in hate. It doesn't happen in jealousy. It doesn't happen, this Christ perspective, doesn't happen with a sense of worthlessness. It doesn't happen in a sense of force. Rather, it's a type of gentle power.
You're not actually thinking about that when you're in it. You know something different, but you're not thinking, oh, this is Christ consciousness. No, you don't think that.
Yeah.
But you get kind of through it and you go, you know what, I think I wasn't thinking about myself.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I was thinking, you know, Christ consciousness.
Huge observation.
Yeah.
Yes, lesson 352, I think it says. It says, you know, Christ needs your hands, your eyes, your feet today. Mm-hmm. And that's what it means.
And that's when the, you know, that's when it kind of hits you, when you go, oh, I think I did a good thing.
Actually participated in something lovely.
Yes.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
That's good. Yes. So the ugly things happen in the world, and how would it possibly be that you wouldn't recoil in horror from them?
Because you have faith, trust, and patience.
There you go.
You do.
Keep it simple.
She's been listening.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, and that's right. It's because you know that you are a child of God, thank you very much.
Innocent child of God.
And innocent.
And so are they.
And so are they.
If so, you, that takes one to know one. It takes one to know one. That changes your perspective. That's what a miracle is. Your perspective on the situation sees light. That's a miracle. Because it's otherwise a dark, tough, ugly situation seen with the ego's eyes. But you're insisting on seeing light. You're going to bring it with you even. You're so sure of its existence. to become the light of the world. And then you know yourself as the light of the world because you look back and say, wait a minute, I wasn't actually thinking of myself when I did. It was so wonderful. That fresh air, that breath, that easy moment.
Now, having said that, I can walk into a meeting feeling as though I am the light of the world. Mm-hmm. And I can walk out of the meeting
feeling mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah. And somewhere in the course of 5 minutes, yeah, I took a complete 180.
Yeah.
You know, so, yes.
Never then, underestimate the ego. That's why we're here. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Everybody turn to page 401. Let's dig in and try to harvest this paragraph 15. 401. Brother David, you ready?
Which paragraph?
15, if you would.
15. The faithlessness will keep your little kingdom barren and separate. So will faith help the Holy Spirit prepare the ground for the holy, the most holy garden that He would make of it. Where faith brings peace, and so it calls on truth to enter and make lovely what has already been prepared for lovelessness.
Actually, the opposite.
Loveliness.
Loveliness.
Yeah, it's been prepared for this loveliness.
Truth follows faith and peace, completing the purpose of making lovely. that they begin, where faith is still a learning goal, no longer needed when the lesson has been learned. Yet truth will stay forever.
It's just a really wonderful paragraph. Whoa. All right, let's dig in. Okay, so faithlessness, we've been studying a lot in the past couple of days, will keep your little kingdoms barren. What little kingdom are we talking about? The Course in Miracles? Hold your finger here. Flip over to page 410 in the workbook. Let's talk about Walt's kingdom. Walt said that to be prepared, what you need to do is come to what you really can control. Very, very present. Somewhere between you and your nose, but not on the outside of your nose. The Course says, closer to you than your heart. Yeah, closer than that. This is where the Holy Spirit is. What's your kingdom in A Course in Miracles? Look at lesson 236. And Claudia, would you read the whole lesson for us?
I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. I have a kingdom I must rule. At times it does not seem I am its king at all. It seems to triumph over me and tell me what to think and what to do and feel. And yet it has been given me to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve. Today I give its service to the Holy Spirit to employ as He sees fit. I thus direct my mind, which I alone can rule, and thus I set it free to do the will of God. Father, my mind is open to your thoughts and closed today to every thought but yours. I rule my mind and offer it to you. Accept my gift, for it is yours to me.
So you're not a victim here. You're actually in charge. You're in charge. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you're not in charge sometimes. He's saying, well, for today, well, let's put you back in charge. But let's put you in charge and turning it over to the light. Can you just ask the Holy Spirit to show me the light in this situation all through the day if you're not already in light? Can you just do that for one day? You turn your mind, your stinking thinking, your judgmental thoughts, your worry, your whatever traps you have in your that might show up during the day. Then, that moment, rule your mind. Rule it. It's yours. It's through the Holy Spirit's way of thinking, to light. And then see what happens. It's an exercise, a training. It's a mind training. Mm-hmm. It's a mind training. So that you can receive the truth of being a child of God instead of a child of another ego. It's an exercise. It's good training. Highly recommend this workbook. Yeah. Isn't that good? Mm-hmm. Love it. Okay. Back now to page 401. First sentence, as faithlessness will keep your little kingdoms barren and separate, so will faith means trusting in the it that Kim knows is there and she has access to. Faith means I'm going to access it now. I'm going to actually trust. Rather than answer ego's worry or fear or anger or what have you, I'm going to go the other way to peace. I will see the light here. Thank you very much. And then suddenly you're seeing light. In fact, you seem to be prepared with light. And then more, when you see light, whatever you look at becomes lighter. And as you give, you receive. You have something to give now. And up the staircase we go. Okay? Now, watch this. Okay, so will faith help the Holy Spirit, part of your mind still connected to the truth, the Holy Spirit prepare the ground for the most holy garden that he would make of it, your kingdom. So you know we're going to have to go back to page...
The little garden.
Little garden. What is that? 390, I think. 390, paragraph 8. So turn back just a few pages, 10 pages.
And let's six just, months ago.
Yeah. It should be fresher, huh?
Yeah.
Well, it's fresh.
It's only 6 months ago, so that should be pretty fresh.
It feels like, yeah.
Yeah.
No comment.
What page?
Yeah.
I love it.
Page 390. 390. Page 390. And we're talking about the, it's called the your little kingdom. This is like, you know, Jesus having been exposed to the universe of universes. He says, well, you got a little kingdom you're managing over there, Brian. It's so cute. Michelin's, this little cute little kingdom in which all of your life and exists, all of the pleasure and tears count on this little kingdom going right. And it's very little.
But it's yours, damn it.
But it's yours, yeah. It's my little stinking kingdom. Thank you. These are my weeds in my garden. Yep. Yep. Little do you know, great to find out that you, the real you, don't actually fit in your own garden. That's why he makes a point to call it a little kingdom, which is your mind. A kingdom sounds big, right? But it just means you have power over it. Course in Miracles is here to help you understand that everything about your life here and now is little.
Yeah.
It's just a huge lesson. It's very far-reaching. And part of your enlightenment is to recognize how little is your massive attention and focus on something that's actually very, very, very little. And the beautiful insight is that Kim had, which is when you have a moment when you recognize you were not in your little space. You acted in the help of others and you weren't thinking about yourself. That transference of light, willingness to give freely in that moment, even at expense to yourself, brings a type of joy where you know you've accessed something bigger than your little kingdom. It's a holy instant. One of the qualities of a holy instant. Okay, real important. This is great, right? So let's take a moment to look at, actually, paragraph 8 on page 390. as a shortcut, we're just going to read that paragraph. So I think, Carol, you're up?
Mm-hmm. Yep, there will always be this place of rest to which you can return. And you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. This quiet center, in which you do nothing, will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing on which you are sent. For from this center will you be directed how to use the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep it so in your awareness of it.
This is what Kim described when she looks back with a smile on her face and says, wait a minute, there's a minute there when I wasn't actually there. I was being lived. I was being used by goodness and just going with the flow. Gracefully providing what was needed, and it was me, but it wasn't me. I didn't do it. That's an experience of what it means to be joined, to be connected. And it happens, this little garden, that's why I love this paragraph here, describes a place where you're not present. A place in your mind where you're not invited even. You don't fit, the real you doesn't fit, and the false you is not invited, thank you very much, stay outside with the ego.
You're a vessel inhabited by the spirit.
It's a spirit. It's a spirit of truth, a spirit of helpfulness. That's another way to call it in, is to call yourself to be controlled by the spirit of something rather than some exact detail or demand. You remember the prayer rarely up on page 28. I am here only to be truly helpful. Now, I don't know exactly how to be helpful, okay? That's why I put the qualifier in there, truly helpful, because I don't know truly. I do not know. But the spirit of helpfulness, I'm calling that in. It's such a different way to be. It's so much more flexible. It's so much more present. Rather than planning how to help, let me just prepare to help by willing, with my arms straight up, to be truly helpful. What do you need? I'm your man. So different, yeah? Yeah. Way more flexible way to live. Way more flexible and trusting. However, hello, faith. Faith is going to be your friend here. If you do know, you're blocking faith. Good. There will always be this place of rest to which you can return. I hope you're deeply comforted after you, if you were here and you did the exercises with us as we spent time on this. You own this place in your mind. Maybe you listened to some of the tapes, The Little Garden, or you know this part of the book already. There's a place in your mind that's you and the Holy Spirit meet. You deliver your consciousness there and you leave your body outside. And it's kind of helpful to picture a place that's very secure and lovely and beautiful that you design, where you would invite the Holy Spirit to meet up and put an altar in the middle of some sort, whether it's a stump or a, for me it's a big chunk of, it's really an altar right out of my Catholic training.
One of these chapters says the altar of God, right?
The altar of truth, yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. And you could put something on it, anything on it from the world, and just watch it turn back to light. It's such a relief, it's some place to go to bring that stuff. And then this is a meditation, a very practical meditation that opens a room in your brain, in your mind, in your existence, a place to which you can always return because it's imagined in your own mind. You have used the same power that separated you from love, peace, truth, happiness, God, and heaven. Use that same power now to start bringing yourself back by making a peaceful place that's completely, it's so strong and beautiful. It could never be attacked by the world. It's beautiful. It's permanent. Even if your body gets completely disabled, this, your mind, is in your mind, waiting for you. to suddenly enjoy that peaceful moment again, always and forever. Take this instruction into your meditation if you haven't already, this paragraph 8, and come out of the meditation with a place in your mind that is so peaceful. It's a place where your ego ends and your Holy Spirit by itself. You and the Holy Spirit exist, not the ego, not the body. And then you are prepared in a very bad situation where things are ugly and dangerous and dying or threatened to. In a bank robbery situation and they got your head on the cold concrete and you move, I will shoot you. Good time to go to the garden. Right?
To my happy place now.
I'm going to my happy place. That's a happy place. Yes, yes. And the Course uses it throughout the book. It's very, 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 very practical for your spiritual awakening. You go to holy part of your mind that's pictured by this garden, this altar. And if you don't, then the default is the world will put you in an unholy place in your mind. Mm-hmm. Anger, attack, sadness, worry, or whatever. These are all unholy because they're separate and alone. They're not loving. Okay, so good little rehearsal of that for a moment. Okay, back to page 401. Now as we read that first sentence, a faithlessness will keep your little kingdoms barren and separate. So will faith, which is trust in the it, the mysterious larger power of love, help the Holy Spirit prepare the ground for the most holy garden that he would make of your kingdom, your mind. For faith brings peace. Trust brings peace. Only the trusting can afford to be honest. I mean, a lot comes with this faith. And so it calls on truth to enter and make lovely what has already been prepared for loveliness. Do you see that circle? It makes lovely. Makes is like a verb, isn't it? Something's happening. Something's doing. Something's learning or changing. Makes lovely what was already prepared for loveliness. It's a beautiful, good assurance of what you really are, where you really came from, and what awaits for you from a divine perspective. All right there in that sentence. Truth follows faith and peace. Completing the process. Here's that word again, making. Think of it as a verb. Completing the process of making lovely that they began, that which they began. Do you see the circle? Completing the process of making lovely that they began. Truth, peace, faith. So I hope you're really hungry for upping the quantity of truth, peace, and faith in your life. You think, yeah, but Andrew, you don't understand how many troubles I got. You don't understand how dark it gets in my life. yeah, okay, that's fine. But the darker it gets, the more you need truth, faith, and trust. The more you need the light. The darker it gets, the darker your life gets. Maybe you've got the darkest situation happening in the whole room. You're sure of it. Well, I have some good news for you. You need a lot less light than the rest of us. A little light goes a long way. A little faith goes a long way when you're deep in the dark. It doesn't take a huge amount. Hope gets born with a spark of light amidst the dark. And if you can afford to take some peace from that, guess what? From the ground of peace, that's like opening the door, truth will follow. It says it right here, black and white. We just read it. Now that's kind of good news and bad news. Well, wait a minute. See, Andrew, I would be peaceful if I knew the truth. Then I would be peaceful. Why don't you give me the truth first, jerk, holding it back, selfish? Why don't you spend a little of that goodness you say you have and make me see the truth, and then I'll show you a peaceful man. Somebody's not right.
Most of the time, the truth is you are exactly right where you are supposed to be right now. And sometimes that is very dark. The dark night of the soul is very dark, but there is light in it because I just came out of it. So, you know, you have to have the faith that you are exactly right where you're supposed to be in order to walk through it. In order to walk through it with some sort of hope and grace, because we are going to get out of it. As long as we keep living, we'll come out of it eventually. But
you said walk through it, right? Mm-hmm. Is the opposite of denial.
You have to face it.
Don't you have to perceive it in like the other like?
It's just that's a method. That's the method of walking through it. It's the opposite of denial. Denial says, oh, I don't actually have a problem. I'm really okay. Mm-hmm. When your belief is, I'm not okay, it sucks, I'll never be okay, really. I don't deserve it. I can't keep it if I got it. That kind of stuff is denial. Not walking through it. Absolutely facing it. Mm-hmm. This is a required for two reasons. One is so that you can have access to the undoing of it. If you don't have it in front of you, it cannot be undone. So, no miracle. No problem, no miracle. You need to hug your problem so tight. That's how you find the miracle in it. And then you need also to go through it, to walk through it. To walk through it. I love walk through it. It's a verb, right? Mm-hmm. Is doing something? Mm-hmm. That's what forgiveness is. The miracles are a shift of perception that's instantaneous in your mind. It's simply seeing from going from wrong mind to right mind. Wrong mind to right mind. Same stinking situation. The miracle is a very personal, private, quiet, instantaneous shift that powers forgiveness. It makes forgiveness no longer a lie. A miracle. You got to close to your problems, though. Get the Holy Spirit going. You got to get present. You got to be prepared for this, right? For the next time the blank hits the fan and starts to crush you, if you're prepared with your Course in Miracles, you might actually get present. You might actually bring some light with you. You might actually say, I don't know. Might actually take a moment out of all this noise and difficulty and danger to say, I am a child of God. Thank you very much. This is all preparation so that you can personally experience the miracle around the problem you're experiencing at that time. Walk through it. That's how you walk through it. With a miracle, Holy Spirit in tow. Holy Spirit, show me this differently. Give me some light.
You come to gratitude for it, in fact, too. And, like, I think I already shared once before, like, my doctor, like, ended up, you know, they have this way of nosing into your, like, life beyond your physical, and she's figuring out all these issues with, or she's asking me all these things, she figures out that something's, you know, going on in my marriage, and then she shows all this pity for me, and I said, no, like, she was like, I'm so sorry, and I just said, that's not where my head is right now, like, I would not take back the last year and a half, like, I want it to, I now know that's the way, and other things too, other really big, serious things, like, I look now and realize, like, I faced that with this book, and it was
up and down so often, and I got frustrated so many times because I believed in orders of difficulty, and I thought, well, this one can't be fixed. But then it does, and then you have all this gratitude, like you wouldn't change what it was, because you needed that for your awakening. I needed that for my awakening.
Yes.
And
you used it for your awakening.
So
please don't take away my teacher. Please don't take away the key to my happiness. As ugly as that key, what ragged on the edge it was. I am empowered now.
You don't feel that in the moment.
You don't feel the moment.
But you have this clarity. Yes, and I'm talking about the problems that like surface and surface, and you keep thinking, I thought I was past this, and then you weren't.
Yes.
But then you get to a point where you realize, like, even if it surfaces again, it's okay.
Yes.
Because it's not because it passes.
Yes.
And that's where I can look and see with gratitude.
Yeah. David, experience part of preparation?
Yeah, in a way.
In a way.
Yeah.
It sure takes the edge off it when you've been there before.
Yeah. It's like
I think it's a lot.
Big time.
When you're
you've been
preparing.
Somewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of us have been somewhere.
Big time.
You've been through something. Second time through, it's going to happen so much quicker if it happens at all. If it's difficult at all, I'll be so much more patient with things going the way I know they're going to go, and then I'll pick up the pieces when it's done. Right?
Yeah, it's so trust, different. Yeah, and then you trust the process after that.
Because you know that
you have a lot more.
And you, back to your point, you know you can. Mm-hmm. The first time through, you didn't know that you could do this.
Mm-hmm.
Make it through this, be present for this, put up with this kind of treatment, etc. But now you know you can, you know what? You don't even remember the first time it happened. It's been 3 or 4 times now. I work it. It's so different now, Carol, isn't it? Okay, now. Okay, so, truth follows faith and peace. Completing the process of making lovely that day began. For faith is still a learning goal, no longer needed when the lesson's been learned. Oh, thank God. Mm-hmm. Somewhere it says you're done. Somewhere it says it happens, right? That's right. Yeah, learning, faith. Who needs faith when you know? Do you need trust when you know something? It's done. You don't.
Yeah.
It's a whole different quality of existence when you don't need trust or faith.
You're already there.
You're there, you know. In fact, Brian, you are the source of there.
So there's no process.
There is no process.
It's already finished.
At that point. Please turn to, I don't know the page number, but it's lesson 318. Keep your finger here, please. And this is just for Brian now. Flip to workbook. Oh, God, it's got to be 400.
459.
459, thank you.
You're welcome.
And would you then, Claudia, are you there, Brian?
I'm here.
Look at 318. Claudia, would you read that to Brian?
In me, salvation's means and end are one. In me, God's Holy Son, are reconciled all parts of heaven's plan to save the world. What could conflict when all parts have but one purpose and one aim? How could there be a single part that stands alone or one of more or less importance than the rest? I am the means by which God's Son is saved, because salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God has placed in me. I was created as the thing I seek. I am the goal the world is searching for. I am God's Son, His one eternal love. I am salvation's means and end as well. Let me today, my Father, take the role you offer me in your request that I accept atonement for myself. For thus does what is hereby reconciled in me become as surely reconciled to you.
You see that circle? And Brian, would you please read that for us and own it, brother?
Just a little prayer.
Same one.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. Okay. And don't forget the title.
In me, salvation's means
and in are one. In me, God's Holy Son, are reconciled all parts of heaven, heaven's plan to save the world. What could conflict? When all parts, when all the parts have but one purpose and one aim, how could there be a single part that stands alone, or one of more or less importance than the rest? I am the means by which God's Son is saved, because salvation's purpose is to find the sinlessness that God has placed in me. I was created as the thing I seek. I am the goal the world is searching for. I am God's Son, His eternal love, His one eternal love. I am salvation's means and end as well. Let me today, my Father, take the role you offer me in your request that I accept atonement for myself. For thus does what is thereby reconciled in me become surely reconciled to you.
The process is over when you recognize that this is a journey without distance. It still appears as a journey because you haven't awoken to the sinlessness and truth in you. You haven't woken up to your true identity. So it seems like a journey to learn, but you're really unlearning to expose what's already planted in you. Oh. Whew. I mean, it took the book. This is 1,100 pages to be able to say, hey, I got news for you. I want you to think about this all day. In you is salvation's means. And the end place, the result, the win, the whole win is in you now. Let's do that all day, all right? Take my hand, here we go. I'll coach you all the way through.
That one idea that I have everything already within me has really been helpful to me for almost everything that I face. So, like, if there's something I don't understand how to do, I say, because I'll have anxiety going to work some days because I know I have to do something, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I have everything already in me, so I already know how to do it, even though I don't know I know. Mm-hmm. And also, when there are situations that I have to face in my personal life that I don't want to face, mm-hmm. I'll say, I have everything that I have inside of me already to face this situation that's difficult to walk through. Or if I have to deal with people that are where I've got to really make sure I am telling the truth and not trying to play this person against this person, like you do in business, you know, sometimes to get the better deal. No, I know I have everything in me right now to handle this difficult situation with these two people. I do that a lot. I have to consciously remember that I have everything inside of me to deal with whatever comes in.
This is the preparation that's universal. Mm-hmm. It counts. Whether it's people or business, or yourself. Beautiful. Good, good. Okay, back to page 401 in the front of the book. No longer needed when the lesson's been learned, no longer processed, or that we've arrived, and truth will stay forever. Truth will stay forever. See, that's because truth is truth. So even in this new expansion of your mind where truth was not invited, when truth moves back in, it stays forever. That's such good news. Do we venture with this next paragraph? Take a look at I think we have just enough time to drink this in, too. Okay, let's... Good night, Carol. Thank you.
Thanks.
Carol?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to save next paragraph for next week because there's too much to do in 12 minutes. So let's take a let's go back to the beginning of this paragraph for a moment. And look how faithless will keep your little kingdom barren and separate. Mm-hmm. And separation is one of the vectors of A Course in Miracles as a sickness, the biggest sickness of all. Is that you, whatever you really are, regardless of the state of your body, the you that's experiencing your body, that's separate and left to die like your body did. What happens after you die? I mean, at least with the body, you got something to feed and to keep warm and massage and do your favorite drug with. Get some comfort. At least I know how to do that with my body. What happens if I have no body?
Free. And make it difficult. You just have to dream something up.
You got to dream something up. You better change your mind. You got to tell you that the world is an investment in separation. And we are deeply drunk on separation. And the bad news is that separation is actually not in the body. The body doesn't care. It's in our mind. That would go beyond the body. Even if the body stops, something keeps going. And if that thing that keeps going is dreaming of separation, guess what? It's going to get separation. Nothing wrong with separation if that's the game that you want to play. But the problem is you've gotten in a situation of victimhood where you think it's true. That's why we're reading this book. Mm-hmm. To take the truth out of separation. That's why we're doing this. Separation seems true, and it proves itself all day long. We're going to put light on that.
In reality, it's just a facet of mind.
Yes, thank you.
And this represents our mental state at the present time.
That's right. What?
A thought.
It's a thought, exactly.
It's not real.
It's no different than a book in the library. And you happen to have pulled that book off the shelf... And you're sitting down with your nose in it.
But it's just more of a hologram in the library.
It becomes everything.
Put a fine point on it.
It becomes everything. It represents everything to you now because you've invested in this one book so much. It's just a thought in mind. Library is big and vast with lots and lots of books. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, did you know the kind of things are in the library?
In a video library too.
And moving pictures, too. But not in the book you're reading. The book you're reading is about separation and limited body that gets sick and then eventually dies. That's the one you're reading. Deeply reading. We're here to heal the sickness of... Drum roll.
The mind.
Yes. Thank you, Isako. Very enthusiastic. And the sickness of separation. It's separation in the mind, okay? Great. Now, let's go. Let's take the last couple minutes we have here and look at this again. This wonderful paragraph on page 605. 605 is chapter 28. Paragraph 5. Next week, I want you all to be prepared. We are going to turn the page next week. So bring a glove or something.
Oh yes.
Maybe
cupcakes.
Some kind of protection for your
balloons.
Fingers.
Balloons.
Balloons.
Music, dance.
Going to turn better be here. The page next week, but not tonight. Go to page 605, paragraph 5, and let's look at this beautiful, wonderful, powerful message from A Course in Miracles, not to be missed. Masako,
I pass.
You pass, Julie.
But never you alone.
This world is but the dream that you can be alone and think without affecting those parts, those apart from you.
Yeah, so I want to have you, because of what we're reading tonight in the section that we're in, would you please back up to the previous paragraph and just read the last three sentences, starting with sentence 7.
Okay.
Or 6 even.
Okay. All miracles are based upon this choice and given you the instant it is made. No forms of sickness are immune, because the choice cannot be made in terms of form. The choice of sickness seems to be of form, yet it is one, as is its opposite, and you are sick or well accordingly. Mm-hmm. But never you alone. This world is but the dream that you can be alone, and think without affecting those apart from you. To be alone must mean you are apart, and if you are, you cannot but be sick. This seems to prove that you must be apart. Yet all it means is that you tried to keep a promise to be true to faithlessness. Yet faithlessness is sickness. It is like the house set upon straw. It seems to be quite solid and substantial in itself, yet its stability cannot be judged apart from its foundation. If it rests on straw, there is no need to bar the door and lock the windows and make fast the bolts. The wind will topple it, and rain will come and carry it into oblivion.
Into oblivion anyway. So why bother trying to have happiness with something that the smallest wind will just topple? This is the power of faith, experience of faith, experience of getting out of your littleness and discovering the power that surrounds you, that you are truly loved. It's a context, you see. The ego is a small little content of focus in a huge context of truth. If you shift your focus away from the little content of your life and look at the context that has supported you all the way through, this is a great thing to do in meditation. It's a type of awakening out of yourself, small s self, to your big s self. And it's absolutely required, because you, not even beating your heart, I hope it keeps going, you're not doing it. Fact, word. So this awakening goes on there, that you are loved, embraced even, by what is. And it goes up from there into a spiritual reality, because pretty soon, you know, the limits of the world are obvious. Okay? Ah. Okay. Where she started reading. No forms of sickness are immune, because the choice cannot be made in terms of form. The choice of the change of mind from victim to free mind. Okay? To be alone must mean that you are apart. Separation is having a heyday. Yet all it means is that you tried to keep a promise to be true to faithlessness. Faithlessness is sickness. It's like the house set upon straw. Faithlessness, not having the trust, not having the open-mindedness to let this power of, let's call it good instead of God, that Brian was talking about, bringing the light of goodness into the darkness. Just remember to bring that, and you'll be the first beneficiary of this choice. Just remember to do that. Having the faith that I can bring light when I need it, That's the whole deal, because that lifts you out of the limited, victim-y, suffering, small body. And you did it inside. You found the little light inside. That means anywhere you go, it's still there. Thank you very much. That's the benefit of having this garden, a place in your mind that you visit from time to time. You practice going there in your meditations, I hope. It's your happy place. Where you can actually be happy. Even if the beep hits the fan. You know how to be happy. Remember the meditation we did? Probably not. You know, it was like 8 years ago now. But I thought it was really great. And it was, choose the place now. Choose the thought now that you would hold forever. You remember that, Walt?
I wasn't here.
You weren't here? This is one meditation we did a long time ago. But, oh, it just came out of nowhere. Holy Spirit, just boom. I didn't even know where it came from. It's not in the book. It just like, take this in a meditation, your next meditation. What a gift to you. Choose the place now that you would have last forever. Choose the thought now that you would have last forever. What a gift to you. That's your happy place. You've already lived it somewhere in your life. You remember, you'll think back to the moment when you had this wonderful experience. Take that thought, have it last forever, please. Thank you very much. That will do. Pick it, live it, and own it. And this can be your little garden. To remind you of love and joy and peace and happiness and everything was not only okay, but it was just beautiful. It was so good. Yeah, give yourself that gift, please. Okay. And from that experience, you will know love and what it means to be love. There's this wonderful freedom. And have faith in that, because believe me, that is yours. You think it, you got it. No matter what's going on, when you think it, when you think that thought, you got that. And so this should be a door for you to go through to get back into the graces of happiness and have faith in that experience. Okay. Good. Good. Okay. All right. That finishes up for the night. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. With that breath, you prepared yourself to just hang here for a minute and not take a breath. Not breathing, are you? Just hold on off for a minute. Just don't breathe for a second. Yeah. You can breathe now whenever you want, but you realize for a minute there you chose. Yeah. You chose not to breathe. Why? It was easy. It wasn't hard. It wasn't hard. Because you're prepared. You took the breath ahead of time. See? What we're doing now is we're taking this breath of peace, a knowledge of your own power. This is empowerment for your mind, which, by the way, goes with you wherever you go, is your mind. That's where you live, despite the geographic or the people. We are here for mind training, for peace and joy and patience and comfort and happiness. To be prepared with enough so that maybe there's a little extra to share if somebody else maybe needs some. You got a little extra. You show a little confidence that maybe they don't have. This is the way out of sickness. And when you see beyond what sickness looks like and you start to exhibit what wholeness feels like, be prepared with what this feels like. And you'll have it available at all times. Think about a very, very happy moment for you. I don't care how long ago. I don't care how long it lasted. Everybody's got one. Take that moment and live it again tonight on your way home. Live it. Live it again. I hope it brings some tears with how much joy it can bring you in just that moment. How beautiful and wonderful. Take that. Take that as your battery. Put it higher in your mind tonight so that it's always available. This will be preparation. You will have made lovely a part of your mind. That, I guarantee you, was already prepared for it. It was prepared for loveliness by love itself. Do this assignment. Thank you, thank you. Amen. Amen.
I'm not going to do this.